Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we ask for you out across America, if you'd like to give us a call, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us David Earl Johnson. His book, Conspiracy in Mecca, What You Need to Know About the Islamic Threat. David, are you there?
I am.
All right, fine. And of course, we were just talking for the last hour on a previous shortwave program with David, but now we have him here in the Central Coast of California, and we'll try not to be too redundant, although some of these things need to be repeated. Because, of course, what we're being told by the media about the Islamic religion and the way the Islamic people feel about America is really ordinarily somewhat colored, although I will have to say that this last weekend they broadcast a program, and perhaps it was a rebroadcast, but it was on CBS 60 Minutes, where they were interviewing a young Muslim children going to a Muslim school in Chicago, and they talked to three girls there, 18-year-old girls, about how they felt about, you know, what's going on over in Israel, the suicide bombing, and they were all in favor of this. I mean, they saw absolutely nothing wrong with that, and of course, they felt that the Palestinian people were being treated so poorly that the children, the young people, everybody was justified in blowing up civilians. Of course, by blowing them up, they would guarantee they would go to paradise. And as this one very attractive young girl said, why, if I were to go into a naval base and blow myself up, you know, I would go immediately to paradise. And she almost looked on with anticipation. And I really found it difficult to believe that there could be that much hatred in the hearts of these people schooled in the Islamic religion. And of course, when somebody pointed out that this was going to go on 60 Minutes, she wrote back and said, well, I wasn't talking about an American naval base. I was talking about an Israeli naval base. But the trouble is that Israel really doesn't have any naval bases. She was talking about American naval bases. And my fear is that we have all sorts of radical cells established in this country many years ago with the full knowledge of our government, and nothing has been done about them. And I fear that when the word is given, or if we go to war in the Middle East, that a lot of these cells are going to be mobilized, and I really fear that we will find chaos in this country, and it is not happening by accident at all. It has been known for years that these were, cells were here. In fact, our government did everything they could to keep the American people from knowing about the radical Islamic movement here being funded from right here in the United States. Have you gone at all into that, David?
Into the funding here in the United States?
Funding here in the United States for the radical Islamic movement.
Well, of course, you know, this thing with Samuel Arian in here in Florida just recently is all part of that, because Al-Arian has been one of the foremost funding workers for the various Islamic organizations, the terrorist organizations, and he's been taking money from Americans and taking it under false pretenses, because he's saying that he's going to be using it through humanitarian purposes in Israel and various other places among the poor Palestinians and poor Arabs. And in fact, he's been using it directly for that purpose. And the worst part of the thing is that Al-Arian is one of George Bush's apparently best friends.
Now, he's been using it to finance terrorism, is what you're saying.
Yes, I thought that's what I said.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is one of George Bush's best friends. In fact, George Bush has a very nice pet name for Al-Arian's son. Big Dude is what he calls him. In fact, there was something in Newsweek magazine a couple of years ago that blew the whole lid off of that thing. And yet still, it seems that the man is welcome in the White House, along with all the other Muslims. And Mr. Bush has no intention of backing down from a friendship with a known terrorist organizer. The only thing that's been happening recently is that he has been apparently temporarily fired from his job in Florida State University, I think it is, in Tampa, and the president of the university has been saying that she is going to make a final decision within the next few days, and it keeps getting extended and extended. And as far as I know, there has been no final decision. But he was suspended from teaching in the university. So at least one person is standing up for the rights of America.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, would you like to explain to our listeners why you were concerned about the Islamic influence here in the United States? And that statement you've made in the past about we have such a short period of time either for the Christians to stand up or we lose America, we live in a Muslim America. How could that possibly be? I mean, you know, even if there are 8 million Muslims in America, why, of course, there are, almost 60% of our population is at least nominally Christian, so that would be well over 100 million people.
Yes. Well, the fact is that in other countries, and the small amount of study that I've done on this particular issue, and that's one thing that I'm going to be working on for my next book in December when I'm overseas for a month, the small amount of study that I have done on that particular issue shows that there needs to be only about a 3% or 4% Muslim population in any country for them to feel that they can almost take over that country and cause all kind of havoc. One country that I think of particularly is Denmark, where they have recently been put a price of $30,000 on the heads of some Jewish leaders, and the Islamists in that country are threatening all Jews. They are beating up Jews in the streets, and they are having marches and riots against Jews. And it is interesting to note that that was one country which, during World War II, lost only, I believe it was 50 of their Jewish population to the death camps because those people stood up against the Nazis. Now they're buckling under because they have a 3 or 4% Islamic population now.
But of course, I think one of the points you made is that the Islamic people are well organized, and of course they will have massive letter writing campaigns of the politicians. The politician will get 750,000 letters and calls from the Muslims because they are coordinated in their political efforts. Most Christians aren't even bothering to vote.
You know,
or register to vote.
That's right. You know, one of the things I have found that seems to be a major problem in the churches of America is that Christians all seem to believe in the rapture taking place before the tribulation.
Well, I hope it takes place, but I believe the devil is pushing that and very, very hard because he knows that's a wonderful way to neutralize the Christians. That's
exactly
what he did in Hitler's Germany, and many of the Christians honestly believed they were going to be raptured before things got bad, and that's why there's so few people in the churches today because they realized they've been lied to.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's a point, Stan. If the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation, and the tribulation has not yet started in the United States, what are you going to say to the 2 million people in Sudan who have been murdered by the Islamists? Are you going to tell them that they have not been going through tribulation? What are you going to say to the thousands of cripples, Christians over there, whose limbs have been amputated, to the Christian mothers whose breasts have been torn off by the swords and daggers of Islam to stop them feeding their children?
I'm going to have to just interrupt you here. We're going to have to go to a break in just a moment here. We'll be right back as soon as this is over. A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course we're talking about the belief that the Christians are going to be raptured before the tribulation comes, and I certainly hope and pray that is the case, but what I would point out is, does it say anywhere in the Bible that Christians will be raptured from America before America falls? It doesn't necessarily mean that the rapture could very well come 20 years after America's fall, and the tribulation come after that. So what are you going to say to your children, or your grandchildren, or your wife, or your husband, if America is destroyed from within while the Christians are waiting for the rapture to come? Because we are not guaranteed any place in the scriptures that the rapture is going to come before this once great Christian nation is destroyed. But of course, they never talk about that. And you know, today they always say, "Oh, we're going to be raptured before anything bad happens." And yet, Christians are suffering throughout the world in China and the Sudan, and while the Christians here in America continue backing the politicians who are allowing that to happen. And I'm talking about the leaders of both political parties who have built up and maintained this ruthless government in communist China, and have allowed the communist Chinese to raise money on our financial markets to be given to the Sudanese government. The Chinese petrol company had actually raised $5 billion in this country to use to finance the Sudanese government to kill the Christians. That was American money being used, but of course nobody wants to talk about that because we don't like anything to make us feel uncomfortable or somehow we might be responsible, not for what we do, but for what we don't do and not being willing to take a stand for righteousness.
You know, there's a feeling in the churches in America that Americans are different than everybody else. And, of course, they are. But the feeling is that Americans are more important to God than anybody else. Now, the Bible doesn't quite say that, because the Bible says that God does not esteem one man greater than any other. So if we think that the people of Sudan, as I was just saying a moment ago, having their limbs torn off, women having their breasts cut off so they can't feed their children, those Christians in Sudan, if we think that they are not as important as American Christians, if we think that Christians who are rounded up into a church in Indonesia and in the Philippines, and the church set on fire, and anybody who tries to escape is shot by the Muslims. If we think that Christians in America are better than those Christians who have died for their faith, then there is something totally, completely wrong with the teachings of the church in the United States of America today.
Well, I certainly will not disagree with that at all. I have people call me from across the country who tell me, we can't find a good church, I mean, that really preaches the gospel. The gospel we're hearing in our church and the music we're hearing in our church is not the traditional Christian message or traditional Christian music. Well, our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY, if you're out there, give us a call. If you agree, you disagree, well, I would love to hear from you. But the subject really is Islamic infiltration of America aimed at taking over this country. The book is Conspiracy in Mecca. What You Need to Know About the Islamic Threat, and it's written by David Earl Johnson. And I will tell you, we have from the very reliable sources that there are Islamic terrorist cells all across America just waiting for the word to be given.
Right.
And, of course, but nobody wants to talk about that. And these are not al-Qaeda. They were here long before al-Qaeda was formed back about, really, 1988. But these were here even long before that. And we've known that they were recruiting Islamic terrorists, and nothing was done. And when Stephen Emerson tried to bring that out back in 1994, somebody in our intelligence agency brought such pressure to bear on the major networks that most people have never seen that very important video. We do have his book, however, American Jihad, which tells the story very effectively. So basically, you know, how are we going to get the American Christians to understand we have a fifth column in America that is being encouraged, funded by our so-called friends in Saudi Arabia, who hate America, and their real goal and objective is a Wahhabi or an Islamic America?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the only thing I know to do is for me personally to get into as many churches as I possibly can and wake the people up with the truth. And I am finding that I'm having great success in all of the churches that I'm going into, bar none. They all are accepting and believing what I'm teaching them. I am giving them the proof in the books, and they are very much moved and wanting to do something about it. Now, the only problem that I see is finding a channel for those people to do something. Now, some of them are actually going out on the road themselves, taking my books and other people's books and going into churches and going into other places and teaching themselves. Some of the pastors are taking time out during the week going to other churches. And that's the only thing that I can see that I can do, is to go into those churches and encourage the pastors and the people to get on the move and tell other people and spread the word of what is truly happening.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners what is truly happening? Because some of these people, of course, did not hear you last hour. So if you listened last hour, you're just going to have to put up with some repetition. But it's important, and we have a different audience here in many respects. So please just go ahead and explain to our listeners what you're concerned about and why they should be realize that there is an organized effort to have an Islamic America.
Well, Stan, back in the 50s, there literally were only a handful of Islamists in the United States. There were a few doctors, a few professors, that kind of thing. And you would not see any Muslim attire anywhere except maybe from a visiting Saudi prince or something like that. And all of a sudden, it seems to be perfectly normal to see people wearing the burqa in your supermarket, even in small-town supermarkets that I've been into occasionally, and seen these women wearing all kinds of brightly colored burqas so that they'll be definitely noticed. In 1976, the number of Muslims in the United States had risen to 200,000. In 1985, it had come up to 1.5 million. In 1997, there were 6 million. And in 2001, there were 8 million Muslims in the United States. Now, the increases there are based on three factors. They're based on migration, our government allowing anybody to come in that is not English-speaking. As long as you don't speak English, as long as you're not a Christian or a Jew, you can come in. They're based on conversion. And, of course, most of that conversion is done in the prisons and the jails. And they're done by expanding families, and they're having families as fast as they possibly can. And, of course, many of those families are biracial. In other words, it's an Arab coming in and getting an American woman to marry him and have children and dedicate them to Allah and teach them in the mosque, etc. So this is how it's growing. Now, they're doing that in all countries of Europe also. It's not just the United States, but the United States is the big one. And we are permitting them to do this, and we're not standing aghast and saying, you can't come in here and do this. They are growing by leaps and bounds, and as you have pointed out, the churches are losing people, and the mosques are getting people. In fact, there are over 2,000 mosques in this country today, and there are well over 2,000 imams subsidized by the Saudi government or some of the other Arab governments, and they are here specifically for one thing. They are here to teach people not only the Quran, but to teach them how to destroy our government and our way of living.
And I think people have to understand that over 80% of the clerics in this country are of the Wahhabi bent. This is the radical, revolutionary, hate infidels, hate America philosophy. This is, I mean, there are some moderate clerics who are very, very concerned about what's going on. But, of course, nobody hears their voice or their warning.
Well, yes, I guess there really are a few.
Not very many, but the majority, the vast majority, are the radical. And the Wahhabism is this whole idea of force, violence, intolerance, hatred, and, of course, we are going to take over politically. That was what Wahhabi talked about in the 1700s. That is the religion of Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
And Saudi Arabia is funding and financing that here in the United States with the help of people at the highest levels of our government.
And we are funding it with the cars that we drive. The bigger the car, the more imams can be sent over. Because it's our petrol dollars that are paying.
Right, and of course everything is being done. The environmental movement's doing everything they can to block development of the vast oil resources that are up, you know, in the North Slope and in Alaska and out in the Aleutian Islands. We're even giving up some of the islands there, the Wrangel Islands, that have vast oil deposits. We're giving those to the Russians so we can maintain our dependence upon Saudi Arabia, and it just doesn't make sense logically. But then, of course, nothing makes sense if you're looking at it logically. If you understand the spiritual forces behind it, it all makes sense because it's an effort to destroy America.
One of the major places that they're getting converts, as I said a few moments ago, is the prisons and the jails. This is where Malcolm X was converted. This is where most of the Nation of Islam came from. I spoke the other day to...
I'm going to have to interrupt you here. We're just getting so interested in the conversation, I'm forgetting we have to do a little business here. And this is the time I certainly want to mention that Radio Liberty offers the... Phonopoly Set. It's a program by which you can teach children to read phonetically in about 16 to 20 hours. It's a 5 separate board games designed to teach children phonics, how to read and spell phonetically. And then we carry the Robinson Home School curriculum, which is made up of 22 CDs, which will take your children, your grandchildren, from grammar school all the way to high school graduation for $199.95. If you'd like more information, we'll be glad to provide it for you. But, of course, the only books you have to buy are the Saxon textbooks. All the other textbooks are included in the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, 50,000 of them out across America. There are 22 CDs. You just copy those and take the children through the various lessons. We've had a lot of very happy people with this. Nothing financially that can meet it. It's $199.95 for the entire educational curriculum. And then lastly, we hope that many of you will consider changing your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. You do that by calling 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. Again, our number here, 1-800-5-HIV, WAR.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and first our guest this afternoon is David Earl Johnson. His book, Conspiracy in Mecca. If you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to call our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you have a question or comment on our subject today, I would love to hear from you. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. We're talking about the Islamic effort to take over America. There really is this. They're, of course, gone into the political parties. If anything is said one way or the other, anti-Muslim, they have anti-Muslim organizations. Why any politician who takes a stand and expresses concern about this growing Islamic movement in the United States will be targeted for destruction. They can get 750,000 letters coming into any politician. But what you must understand is the Muslim religion does not tolerate any dissent once a country becomes a Muslim a nation. You are not even allowed to display a cross or have a Bible or even to talk about Christianity in a Muslim nation. Yet they come here and demand their constitutional rights. Well, what's the solution? First of all, we never should, of course, opened up our boundaries or borders to bring in large numbers of people with a different language, different culture, and an intense hatred for our form of government. Yes, a few of them do believe in American individual freedom. The trouble is that the vast majority do not. Because, of course, they're loyal to their religion. And in their religion, church and state are one. So why don't you continue that line of thought or whatever you'd like to, David. And incidentally, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Well, you know, Stan, for one thing, every mosque that is built in the United States, and there are now over 2,000 of them, every mosque is a center for teaching against the American way, against the American government, against Christianity and Judaism, as well as being teaching about Islam. So every one of those mosques is an enemy institution in our land. And every imam that comes over from Saudi Arabia or from wherever else they come from, Egypt, etc., every one of them is an enemy agent sent here for a purpose. The purpose is the destruction of our way of life, our government, our country, and everything we believe in.
And that is exactly what Saudi Arabia has wanted. That's what the Wahhabi religion is all about. And they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars and being helped by both Republican and Democrat administrations.
Yes. What we need to do somehow, what we really ideally need to get to do, is to have these places identified as foreign outposts. And each of those imams identified as foreign agents working against the United States. That's ideally what we should do. But, you know, we're not going to be able to do that unless we can mobilize the Christians. If we can mobilize the Christians and get them to think in one mind, even, you know, 10% of the Christians in this country could change everything in a matter of a year.
But Christians don't want to hear anything bad. They don't want to hear anything that's disturbing. They don't want to hear anything that would mean that they have to do something and get out of the comfort zone.
Don't we know it? Well, I think there are a number of scriptures, you know, in which Jesus talks about people who think they know him, and he said, well, I never knew you.
I think that would be the most frightening words that anybody could ever hear.
Oh, but how many millions of American Christians are going to hear that?
Well, I fear. This is why I do what I do, 5 hours every day, and on the weekends, trying to get people to wake up and understand what's going on. Well, let's take a call here. We've got Rich calling. Hi, Rich. Where are you calling from?
San Juan Bautista.
Okay. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, going to war with Iraq. the beginning of the answer?
Well, I think it's one of the greatest mistakes that this country could ever make. People have such short memories, they don't remember the no-win war in Korea, the no-win war in Vietnam, and that we, I should say, a George Herbert Walker book, Bush left Saddam in power after the Gulf War, after promising the people, the Kurds, and the people of southern Iraq, if they just rise up, why we would take out Saddam Hussein and protect them. And, of course, they were slaughtered by the tens, if not hundreds of thousands.
Well, if bombing Iraq isn't the answer, then what else can people do?
Well, first of all, why are we bombing Iraq today? We put Saddam Hussein in power. We financed, we backed Saddam Hussein. And what we're doing now is only going to antagonize all the Muslims in the world.
Okay. I just don't know how to filter all this stuff. It's, you know, one day you say, yeah, go bomb, and the next day you think, well, maybe you shouldn't.
Well, I think that what we ought to do is just quit trying to interfere with all the affairs of everybody in the world. Let's worry about America and the very real problems we
Absolutely.
Have here.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks so much. Anything, Rich? Bye-bye. Let's go to Roger calling from Allentown. What was your comment, Roger?
Yeah, I just had a question. What would it take, and I'm just going to give arbitrary numbers here, you might have more accurate figures, but let's say that right now there's between 1% and 5% of the Islamic population in the United States. What would it take to where, if their numbers get high enough, now you find that 20% or 30% of them all of a sudden decide to take all the words of the Quran as the full counsel of Allah, and then openly preach the slicing of dicing of the infidels?
Well, okay, ask David that. Do you think that they could use violence in America against the American people?
This is precisely what is going to happen. And let me go back and use the analogy of the German people in 1937, 38, 39, 40, where most of the German people were not militaristic. Most of them did not really follow Hitler. They didn't have much choice when he was put into power. He took over everything. And when he started the war, still the German people were not for it. But what choice did they have? They had to march in that German army uniform and say, Heil Hitler. And the very same thing is going to be happening here in the United States and in the other countries, where those strongly motivated Islamists are going to pick up the rest of them and say, look, either you're going to fight with us or you die. And what choice do they have? They know what a sadistic religion this is, and they're not going to fight against it. They're going to go with the flow.
And that's the easiest thing to do. In fact, within this last week, several articles in the New York Times about the Palestinians, Muslims living in the Palestinian section of Israel. And, of course, they want to be friends with Israel. They don't want all this conflict. And so the other Muslims just kill them. And
that's right.
I mean, they're just going in and slaughtering whole families. Why? Because they want to live in peace with their neighbors. Thanks so much for calling, Roger.
Thanks, God.
Our telephone number is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. You'll have to understand that somebody planned this a long time ago during the Vietnam War, when our attention was focused on the coffins, the flag drake coffins coming home. Why, of course, they used that opportunity to change the immigration laws so that we would have exactly what we have today.
Right.
We're dealing with very wicked and evil people who have a different agenda, who march to a different drumbeat, who dream a different dream. And, of course, that dream centers around the hatred of America. And that's why they have intentionally brought in so many people from the Islamic faith, because they knew they would become, and they could be used as a fifth column. That's the tragedy. Even if they don't want to be used, they can be.
That's it, exactly. Stan, before we run out of time again, let me give my 800 number.
Please do.
And let me just say that anybody who would like me to speak in their church anywhere in the United States, please give me a call. If there's a pastor listening, or if somebody is a member of a congregation where you think they need to hear this message, give me a call. My number is 800-632-0979. Won't cost you a dime. Just give me a call. 800-632-0979. And let me just say one word about the previous caller, the penultimate caller. He was talking about why are we going into Iraq? Iraq. And you know, is it going to do any good? Well, you know, I used the analogy on the previous show we did together, Stan, that it's like having 8 million foxes surrounding and inside the chicken coop, and Farmer George is going to the pig pen because there's a poodle barking over there.
Well, I really think that, of course, why are we going into Iraq? Because I believe our leaders intend to get us into a great and much larger war. This whole thing has been scripted. I mean, here we're, as I pointed out many times, we're attacked by 15 Saudi Arabian citizens. And, of course, then we go to war with Afghanistan. How many Afghans were there among the hijackers? Not one. How many members of the Taliban? Not one. Where did the Taliban came from? Why, we funded it. Saudi Arabia, the CIA, and Pakistan government funded the Taliban. So now we killed them all. And many of these young people had been indoctrinated in the schools that we financed in the radical forms of Islam. And anybody who wants the article out of the Washington Post would be glad to give you the reference, or even we'll send it to you if you give us a call. We spent $56 million from the U.S. Aid, Agency for International Development, indoctrinating these people in this radical Islamic faith. What's wrong with this picture?
Stan, one other rhetorical question about Afghanistan. After all that we've done to liberate Afghanistan, how many Afghanis love us?
Well, I think right now, of course, they're going right back into chaos.
Yes, of course, because they're run by Islam.
Right, and the warlords are taking over, and of course, we put this man, Karzai, into power, and now we're going to have our troops defend him because nobody wants him there. He's an American puppet, just like Mubarak is, like the puppets in Turkey,
Then we're going to end up going to war against him and try to oust him.
Well, we're in real trouble, and we're in trouble because we're trying to run the whole world. Rome couldn't do it, Hitler couldn't do it, and we can't do it. And if we'd stay at home and mind our own affairs, yes, individual charity, I think that we should be very concerned, but as individuals, not as a nation. Because, of course, so often what our leaders say has very little to do with their true motives. And the war with Iraq has nothing to do with the wicked Saddam Hussein. We could have taken him out 10 years ago, and we intentionally, purposely, maliciously left him in power and allowed all those people in northern Iraq and in southern Iraq who believed the American president to be slaughtered by Saddam Hussein.
That's right.
Well, we're going to have to take a break here. When we get back, of course, we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Just remember that men and women become accomplices of the evils they fail to oppose. And I believe God expects us to be involved while we're here on this earth and to do our very, very best no matter what the cost. But right now, of course, I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener supported. And if you're listening to us out across America or here in the Central Coast of California, why, we hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we try to get the truth out, try to get people to think, and try to get them to question the conditioning process by the mass media, which gives you two sides of what they want you to hear, but never the truth. And so 5 hours a day we're heard on radio and on the internet, and 3 hours a day on satellite and 2 hours a day on shortwave. But it's an expensive proposition, and quite frankly, we need your help to do what we're doing. And so if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, we'll send you our four best tapes a month. We'll send you our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us reach out across America. And if you don't have a voice, we have one. But, of course, our voice reflects the people who believe in what we're doing. And then, of course, tell others about our radio programs. Tell them about our website, RadioLiberty.com, where you can not only hear our programs live, you can actually hear many of the archive programs that you may have missed. And pull down the newsletters that are there. Pull down my treatise on the population control agenda. And the other material that's there that will give you some insight into the aspects of what's going on that you won't get elsewhere. go to our site where we list all of the various products we carry. The videos are excellent educational tools. If you have access to the local cable television program, get these. You can get any five of them for $69.95, and we pay the postage. Five videos, each one or 2 hours or more, the videos we produce. But get the information and help us to disseminate it across America while we still have a voice, because I think we're moving rapidly towards a point of no return.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is David Earl Johnson, his book, Conspiracy in Mecca. And do you want to get that telephone number out just one more time, David?
Oh, I sure do, Stan. It's 800-632-0979, and that's for anybody who wants one of my books, and also for anybody who would be interested in having me speak in their church, 800-632-0979.
Well, the problem is that we're being told, well, the enemy is not Islam. The enemy is Osama bin Laden, the wicked Osama bin Laden, who, incidentally, we're not really trying to catch. We've never really tried to catch him. Sudan tried to give him to us in 1996, and we refused to take him. They offered to give him to Saudi Arabia. And, of course, supposedly his persona non grata there. They refused to take him in 1997 while they arrested Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan and offered to give him to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia wouldn't take him. Why? I mean, after all, he'd blown up the Khobar Towers in Riyadh over there. He'd, you know, killed a lot of Saudis and Americans. And the Saudi princes just wouldn't take him. Maybe that's why they're giving him so much money all the time. It's now come out $200 million given to the Al-Qaeda and bin Laden by the Saudi princes. Things are not at all what they may appear to be, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to begin thinking out of the box. Because as long as you think, as you're being told to by Barbara Walters and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw, you're not going to be able to see what's really happening. Well, what about these Islamic terrorist cells, these sleeper cells here? Are they a reality, David?
Well, certainly, I have no doubt whatsoever. You know, but back to what you were just saying, you know, if the Saudis can keep everybody dancing to their tune, looking for Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and worrying about other little places and things that are flaring up and happening, worrying about Syria and so on, then nobody is going to notice what is happening in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And that's the whole key issue, because that's where it's all happening. And if, you know, if we knew what was happening there, then we wouldn't allow our president to be catering to these people.
And in fact, a friend of mine, Joel Skousen, who's a very, very very well-informed individual, told me within the last 10 days, a friend of his had been contacted by some Pakistanis who knew exactly where Osama bin Laden was, and they came over and they met with Donald Rumsfeld's associates, assistants there at the Defense Department, and they weren't in the least bit interested in Osama bin Laden, knowing where he was or trying to track him down. What's wrong with this story, ladies and gentlemen? And I have no reason to believe that isn't true, because those of you who are going to be seeing my new talk, which we're going to be given very, very soon, called 9/11 Contrived, why you're going to see that this is a constant and consistent pattern. We say one thing, we do another, and the American people just can't figure out why we can't find Osama bin Laden, the wicked Osama bin Laden. Well, our telephone number 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, the number of people here in the United States who are either converting to Islam or who are already here, Islamic, and, of course, they are totally dedicated to this belief. They, so many of them see absolutely nothing wrong with the bombing, using children to actually kill others, strapping the explosives to them. Because, of course, that way you're guaranteed by your religion you're going to go to paradise. Well, isn't that wonderful? But, of course, it's a lie. And I'm afraid that so many of these people who've just gone in and just killed as many people as they can, the whole system is built upon hatred, isn't it?
Right. Can I get one more thought in?
You go right ahead. We've got about 8 minutes for
okay,
thoughts.
Great. You know, I was thinking the other day about Farrakhan's plan to release all of the black prisoners from the jails in the United States, you know, when the revolution takes place. And I was thinking, well, how in the world is he going to do that? And then it occurred to me, by having black jailers who are Islamists. Now, of course, you know, we're not speaking about just black people. You know, we're talking about those who have been converted to Islam, and they are the ones who are being targeted for Islam. Yeah, and by the way, I'm going to a very small town again, in a certain state in the South, in a couple of weeks from now. And the pastor of the church was asking me, why on earth do you think they're building a mosque in this tiny town? I said, what percentage of the people in your town are black? And he said, oh, boy, that's a lot. That's probably 60%. I said, that's one reason. I said, do you have a state prison near you? He said, there's one right here in town, and there's another one up on the lake about 15 miles from here. I went to the chief chaplain of that state, and I asked him point blank, what percentage of your convicts are Muslim? He said, 4%. I said, what percentage of the staff are Muslim? He said, you know, I don't have that information, because he's a chaplain. Why would he? He wouldn't need to. But he said, I do know that we have at least one Muslim chaplain, and at least one Muslim prison, what's the guy in charge of the prison?
He would be the warden.
Thank you. One Muslim warden. So the picture begins to become clearer and clearer. These people are being put in there into the prison staff for the sole purpose of, well, one, of helping to convert the black prisoners, and two, of turning the key when the revolution comes and letting them all out.
Well, you know, it's really so interesting that Farrakhan, who, of course, is a despicable individual, is now talking about reparations for the blacks, you know, for slavery. Well, I personally believe anybody who was a slave is entitled to reparations. How many people living today have ever been slaves? Or even their parents' slaves? This is simply a means of getting people behind him, and of course to divide our country, to turn the whites, who are going to have to pay the reparations, you know, against the blacks, and to get the blacks against the whites. But Farrakhan's a very, very smart person. He is being funded and has been funded by these radical Islamic movements throughout the world. And of course he has the full support of the media here in America. Every time he says anything, he's on television.
Yep.
The responsible black leaders, you're never going to see on television.
That's right.
But the radical ones, the ones, the troublemakers like Farrakhan, especially if they have strong Islamic ties, they're going to get on television all the time. It's like, Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson doesn't represent the blacks of this country. He's created by the media. And until people understand that everything is perception, and, of course, our perception is created by those people who hold the reins of control in the media.
That's right.
And, of course, there are strong ties, incidentally, to the American intelligence agencies who are shaping exactly what we think and believe today. And, of course, not one thing they just want more than anything is chaos, to turn American against American and divide and conquer. That's how you do it. And out of chaos comes order. That's what it's really about. And my fear is that we moved into a war in the Middle East. These terrorist cells that have been put here for many, many years intentionally are going to be mobilized. And if anybody doubts that, there's a wonderful book called Attack America and the West by Joseph Badansky, who is the director of the Congressional Task Force on Terrorism and Unconventional Warfare. And in his book, which was incidentally suppressed in America, I couldn't even get a copy any place in America. I had to go to England to get my copy. He talked about those terror cells that Saddam Hussein wanted to mobilize back during the Gulf War to disrupt America's. His country was being attacked. And, of course, Iran and Syria wouldn't let him do it. They just said, no, we control them, and you can't mobilize them. But, of course, next time, if we go to war over there now, I think that this is the time when they will be mobilized. They've been waiting a long time to disrupt this country because of this intense hatred many of them have for everything that's represented in Christian America.
Right. Stan, I hate to ask you to do this on the air personally, but would you mind repeating it? Was Attack America?
The book is called Target America and the West by Joseph Badansky. Target America and the West. My copy is called Target the West. It was the English edition of it, but Target America and the West by Joseph Badansky, and I recommend the book strongly. Of course, we don't carry it because it's out of print. It's been out of print, but even people doing research for me to get it could only get it out of England.
Well, I'm going to be in London in December.
All right. Well, I hope you can get a copy, and I hope you'll help us to get the information out. We have to spread it, and I appreciate so much your willingness to, apply yourself to get the message to the American people, to get the message to the Christians, the message they're not getting through our churches.
Yes.
One other thing else you'd like to say? We've only got about a minute before we have to let you go.
I very much appreciate what you're doing, sir. And have you ever met Anis Shirosh?
No, I haven't.
Oh, here is a man you need to have on your program, too. This is a man who was born Palestinian in Nazareth, Israel. And he is a Baptist minister living in Alabama and ferociously teaching the same message that I am. In fact, you can see his name on the back cover of the book that you have of mine, The Conspiracy in Mecca. Anis Shirosh, a tremendous, fiery preacher.
All right, well, I will call you off the air and get his telephone number because we're always looking for fiery preachers and people who can speak with authority on this subject that the American people are not hearing about from regular channels.
Well, a Palestinian can certainly speak with authority on Islam.
He certainly can. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. God bless.
And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time we have to tell you that America is in trouble. And whenever a nation turns against God, and this country has turned against God, if you don't believe it, just turn on your television and watch so much of what's going on today. And the glorification of homosexuality and perversion, you know, and the immorality of every form. Go to one of the concerts that our young people are going to, one of the rock concerts, if you want to see hedonism in action. And then, of course, even some of our churches have much of the same music in them today. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, pray for God's mercy. We ask you to pray for our ministers and try to reach them with an understanding of what's going on and that they should be the leaders in this battle to inform the Christians about the true spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Excuse me, sir.
Next one.
Hello. Hi, it's Sam here. Will you give me the, you have the cell phone number for the Palestinian? Okay. Well, you did fine. And what's his name again? Mm-hmm. Oh, S-H?